today as we come to the table.
If there's 1% area you messed up, even if it's a thought that you shouldn't have had, you went through the stop sign. And the thing about stop signs, it depends on how picky a policeman can be, but this will further make the illustration. My aunt got pulled over one time because she was still slightly rolling before she went on. And he gave her a ticket for that. She was like, I was mostly stopped. He said, the sign doesn't say mostly stop. The sign says stop. Now you might say, but that's so hard. That's so legalistic. That's the law. And you might think, well, God's going to grade on a curve. I'm okay. I mean, I'm mostly stopped from these sins. I'm mostly not that. I'm mostly, God says, it doesn't say mostly. It says, don't do it at all, ever.
The law doesn't have grace built in. As Pastor Mark will illustrate in today's message, if you roll through a stop sign, even if you almost stop, you've still broken the law. If you drive 56 in a 55 mile per hour zone, you've broken the law. If the police weren't human, they would fine you on the technicality. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. With God's law, we're judged on a heart level. It makes it impossible to be righteous, according to the law at least. That's why we need Christ. He's provided the only way for us to be righteous. He alone was able to perfectly follow the law as God intended, and then he gave himself to take the punishment for our failures. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians chapter 5 as he begins his message, Stand Fast.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You've become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by the law. You've fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. Now, as we come to this passage today, I've entitled it Stand Fast, but as I said, really it's Stand Fast not only in your position in the Lord, but also in the love of the Lord. And that will develop as we go through this passage. But again, as a reminder, Galatians is broken up into three major sections. And today we begin the third and last major section of the book of Galatians. The first section dealt with the personal side of Paul and his connection with the people of Galatia. The second dealt with the doctrinal issues or the teaching aspects of the book of Galatians. And the third and last deals with the practical or hands-on application. And that's where we are starting today. And by the way, no matter how much Bible you know and no matter how much you study, if you don't have practical hands-on ways to apply it to your life and to use it, it doesn't really profit you any. And likewise, also, even if you have practical hands-on ways to use it, if it's not done in love, it's not going to profit you either. So again, it's practical and it's got to be done in love. That's how we ourselves are changed and that's how we reach the world around us. And this practical aspect is sanctification by the Spirit and justification by faith. Now, sanctification by the Spirit, that's just a fancy word that means God is changing us gradually, day by day. You're being changed. You're being sanctified. And so it's a process that takes place. Also, being justified by faith, again, that simply means that before God, through your faith in Jesus Christ, God says you're justified before heaven. So now you have the right to come to heaven. And all these things are going to be what we'll be looking at here in chapters 5 and 6. And unlike the legal system that put them and can put us under bondage, through the cross is the freedom that we experience. And that really is the thrust today, standing fast in that freedom and standing fast in the love of the Lord, because the law puts us under bondage and you've got to be perfect. Again, Paul will develop this as we go through this passage today, but you've got to be flawless. You may obey all the laws all day long. You may, everything at work, on your way to work, you obey all the laws, the speed limits, the red lights, the lane changes, not texting and driving, Well, everything else. But anyway, I'm just kidding. All those laws, you're obeying all those laws all the way until you get to where you have to be, and you mess up in one small thing at the very end, it's done. The whole day's ruined. Now imagine that as a lifetime. You've got to do this your entire life, every day, always. Make it to the end of your life, one small thing. J. Vernon McGee tells the story of one Sunday morning where he ran a stop sign on the way to church. He was a famous pastor. He's on the way to church. Yes, pastors sin as well. But he's on the way to church. He ran a stop sign because no one was around. He's saying, you know, there's no need to stop. Nobody's around. But he didn't know somebody was around. There was a policeman, and the policeman, he said, pulled him over. And so he has that feeling, you know, that in his pit or whatever. Rolls the window down. The policeman walks up and says, did you not see the stop sign? He said, sure, I saw the stop sign. I just didn't see you. And that's the problem with the biblical law. Here's the thing that we have to do. It never misses anything. The law never misses anything. You may think, well, I've done 99% good today. But if there's 1% area you messed up, even if it's a thought that you shouldn't have had, you went through the stop sign. And the thing about stop signs, it depends on how picky a policeman can be, but this will further make the illustration. My aunt got pulled over one time because she was still slightly rolling before she went on. And he gave her a ticket for that. She was like, I was mostly stopped. He said, the sign, you know, the sign doesn't say mostly stop. The sign says stop. Now you might say, but that's so hard. That's so legalistic. That's the law. And you might think, well, God's going to grade on a curve. I'm okay. I mean, I'm mostly stopped from these sins. I'm mostly not that. I'm mostly, God says, it doesn't say mostly. It says, don't do it at all, ever. Even once, kind of. Now, again, you think, wow, that's impossible. Again, that's the whole point. Relax. If there's another thing I could emphasize in today's teaching, it would be believers in Christ, saints, relax. I'm not saying don't keep up your guard against sin. I'm not saying don't set up boundaries so that you don't fall away from the Lord. I'm saying relax in the finished work of what Jesus has done on the cross and learn to enjoy the Lord. If you get so overwhelmed by how much you're doing for God or how much you're reading the Bible or how much you're praying, all of these things are wonderful. It's how you develop a relationship with the Lord. It's how you show your love for the Lord. But that's not what his relationship with you is about. That's a result of that relationship. And so learn to just take a deep breath and say, you know what? Jesus loves me and it's going to be okay. I rolled a little bit through that stop sign. I wish I hadn't, but you know what? Because of the cross, it's okay. No ticket. No ticket. And again, the law can be harsh. All it takes is one thing, one time, and there it catches us to convict us. However, through Jesus, the cross comes, through Jesus and the cross comes forgiveness and grace, not perfection and condemnation. And that, again, now where we last left off, I'll get my words working in a moment here. If you remember, Paul had just finished using Isaac and Ishmael as a picture of the promise of God as opposed to our own efforts and our own abilities. In the flesh. And remember, he'd given birth to Isaac and given birth to Ishmael. And again, because God made the promise that there would be a supernatural birth of Isaac through Sarah, she was barren, if you remember, it didn't come soon enough. They had to wait 25 years for the promise of God to come to pass. That can be sometimes, I guess, discouraging in and of its own to hear that. 25 years for the promise to come through. God's not in a hurry. Again, remember, we have the drive-up window mentality. We have the fax it to me, text it to me. And not even fax now. Fax is too slow. You know, I mean, of course, you have to do some things, I get that, to get paperwork, but text it, send an email, you know, do whatever, this kind of thing. The Lord's not in a hurry. God says, I've got a work to do in your life and in the life of the people around you. And for Abraham and Sarah, it took 25 years for God's promise, but in the meantime, remember what they did. We're going to help God out. We got to speed this thing up. So instead, what they do, they had a child. They had Ishmael. We used the example last week, figuratively, they had an Ishmael. And that is what I mean by that is when we do things in our own ability apart from God, we give birth to an Ishmael. That is something that ends up being a problem. Now, again, God loved Ishmael and God loves the Arab people. That's not my point at all. He died for them as well. And they have a place in the kingdom if they come through Christ. But the point that Paul was making by using Ishmael as an example was whenever we try our own fleshly way to do things that God wants us to do, it ends up in disaster. And we also talked about last week, looking at the Middle East, that's the result of Ishmael being born. That's the fleshly side of it. The battle between the Jews and the Arabs, it's really between Isaac and Ishmael. That's where the fight is. And so we see the results, the consequences of not waiting on God and doing things in our own way. So that's where Paul left off last week. And now again, as we get into chapter 5, we'll start jumping into the practical things we do now that we understand it's walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Well, what do we do? Well, the first thing we do is stand fast. Don't give any ground. Look at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore. Whenever you see a therefore, you always look to see what it's there for. That's your signal that he's saying, because of all the things we've talked about, because of everything you now know about the law and about liberty, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now again, notice Paul says the purpose of what Jesus did was not only to save us. I mean, that's the main purpose. He died to save us. But there's another purpose that he did, and that is to set us free. He wants us to be free. He didn't just open the prison doors so that we'd know the door was open, but sit inside the prison. They say there's an interesting phenomenon with prisoners that have been in prison most of their life. When they get set free, oftentimes, they live as though they're still prisoners. That's just what they do because they still think of themselves in that way. It takes a long time to understand. I'm no longer a prisoner. I'm now free. And I wonder how many of us, and maybe some of you here this morning, the Lord has swung the doors open and given you liberty in walking in Christ, but you're still sitting in a prison cell. You've still got all the bars of rules and regulations on your life. You've got all the things that are holding you back. And he's saying, you know what? All of this stuff has been done away with. The doors have been opened. It's not just the purpose to be saved, but Jesus died that we might be free. And that's the heart of this verse here. It means he set us free that we would be free. He died for our freedom. That's the point. And so it means, in essence, these religious legalists that were coming into Galatia are trying to nullify the very thing that Jesus came to do. They were actually pitting themselves against him and fighting against him. He said, look, Jesus did that to set you free, but now I want you to go back in the prison and close the door. Can you imagine? Some guy gets out of jail after being in prison his whole life, or a big portion of it, and he gets out of prison for whatever the reason, and some guy shows up immediately and says, look, I'm glad you're enjoying your freedom, but you really need to go back in prison. Why? Well, because that's just the thing you need to do if you're going to make the system happy and you're going to pay your debt to society, and if you do that, you'll be okay. I guarantee you nobody's going to do that. But it's the same thing with these legalists coming and saying, now that you've been set free in Christ, come under all the rules of the Bible. Come under all the regulations. Again, we're not talking about following it as a moral standard. I only say that for those of you that might be hearing this first message in Galatians. I'm not saying that we don't have a moral standard to follow in the Word of God. We do. It gives us a moral guideline. It's the legal side that we're not bound to. And that's the point that Paul was making to them. So there were actually these, you know, legalists were pitting themselves against the very thing Jesus came to do. He came to set them free by the cross, set us free by the cross. They're trying to now close that avenue off. And so it's not just the freedom that we have, you know, when the doors swing open. It's how we live after that. And again, when freedom, I want you to note this as well. Freedom is not just so you can use that freedom for whatever in Christ. Freedom is also the ability to say no to sin. You also have now the ability to say no. I never had that ability before Christ. You didn't either. You may have thought you did, and maybe you could say no temporarily. But the bottom line is you don't have the power to do that. Now that you're free in the Lord, you have the freedom to say no. And it truly is. There's almost more freedom in the ability to say no than to say, I'm free to do this in Christ. And so there's a power there. And so he says, therefore, that is because we've been set free, walk in it. Don't let someone take it from you. In other words, fight for it. Because notice what happens if we don't stand fast and walk for it. He says, don't let yourself be entangled with a yoke of bondage, taken captive by this. We're once again put under bondage of flesh and sin. If we go back to the law, we've been set free. Don't go back to the way it was. And yes, a Christian can become a slave to sin if we open up that door again. Note this. Paul warns in another place. He says, don't open up a door and give opportunity for the enemy to take you captive again. You can be taken captive. You've seen believers do that. They've been set free. They're walking with the Lord. They open up a door, right? I'm free in Christ. I can handle this. They open up a door, and then they're gone. And they're taken captive again. Sometimes for years they disappear. And then God again brings in his chastisement and his love and corrects them. And then they come back to the Lord where they're supposed to be. What Paul is saying is don't let this happen. Fight so that this doesn't happen. Don't become a slave again. Again, I'm not talking about being anything to do with your salvation issues. This is about being taken captive by the enemy and not putting yourself under that bondage. You remember what it was like before you came to the Lord. Sometimes the enemy comes to me and, I'm sure he does the same with you. And he tries to, hey, remember that, Remember what that was like, and how this and how pleasurable that was. Remember this, remember that. And you're free in Christ, and some of these things are, and he tries to tempt you to get right to the edge. Sometimes that whole freedom in Christ thing can pull you right to the edge because he knows if he can get you to the edge and you open up a door just a little bit, He can get in. You ever have that? I don't know, but you know, maybe running from a brother. If you're a little brother or something, or a little sister. I don't know if sisters do this, but little brothers are good at getting that foot in that crack before you can close it. You know, you do something to your big brother, you're running. Ah, I come in the room. There it is, their foot. And so they come in and they smack you or whatever. That's all Satan wants. It's all he wants. You get close enough to where he can start chasing. And then you try to close the door and you've gone so far, he just puts that little foot right there. And there you go, now what? I can't close the door. You've been taken captive again unto the enemy. And this is what Paul is saying, is don't go back under a yoke of bondage. Yes, that can happen to believers. And here's the thing about that. Not only does that get you away from the Lord and put you back under bondage, that affects eternal reward. It wastes years of time in serving God. And it also can, actually, the Bible says, don't let anyone take your crown. Listen, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about reward. And if it wasn't possible to lose reward, the scripture wouldn't say that. I don't think I'm going to have that much already. Last thing I can do is lose some of it. And so it's a motivation, and again, to say, Lord, I want a relationship with you first and foremost, but I also don't want to lose any reward. I don't want to lose the opportunity I have to serve you. You know, you begin to realize the older you get, the clock's ticking. You know, that hourglass has been turned over, and you're watching, like, I've only got so much time. Have you ever seen these clocks? I think they have these clocks or hourglasses or something. They calculate how long you're going to live by your age, and you can put those on your desk and watch it count the days down or where they are. It's like, who wants that? I would smash that thing. I'd throw it and say, forget it. I don't want to know that. Imagine if you were to live beyond that, you'd be going, I mean, you'd never know, right? But here's what we do know. It's going to happen to all of us at some point. Guys, we're going to go. We're all going to go at some point. Everybody, 10 out of 10 in this room, we're all going to have a funeral unless the Lord comes back. And even then, we'll be gone to the rapture, which would be great. But we're all going to die at some point. How much time do we have left? I'm way, way, way beyond the halfway point. I used to hear the thing, 50 is middle age. Really? Everybody lives to be 100? 50 is not middle age. I think that's us trying to cheat and make ourselves feel better. Probably 38 is middle age. Statistically, what is half of 72? Don't have me do math, but figure it up for me. So upper 30s is probably middle age. So if you're in your upper 30s right now, you're middle aged. Clock's ticking. The grains are falling through. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the time you have left? You know, maybe you make it to 40 and you're going to be 80. Oh, I'm going to make it to 90. My grandfather, like, great, 45. If you're 45, you're still middle-aged and younger than I think. What are we doing with our time? Now, this is not to pressure us into works, but just an honest, mature reasoning. What am I doing, Lord? What happens when my body quits working good and I can't do these things anymore and I can't see good anymore, and I can't hear good anymore. How much am I using the time that I have right now so that it will last and go on in the kingdom and have an impact? These are things we need to consider. And he says, you know what? Jesus made you free. Don't go back to being entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You're going to waste time. You're going to face consequences. Verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised or follow the law, that was a symbol of following the law because that's what it represented to the Jew, then Christ will profit you nothing. Now, these are heavy words. He's saying if you go back to the law after being set free from the Lord or with the Lord and what he did on the cross, he's saying the bottom line is you're putting your eternity in jeopardy. He says, what are you doing? He said, you become circumcised. Christ will profit you nothing. There's no benefit to the cross in your life. That's heavy. And so pretty, you know, some people argue back and forth. Well, this is talking about salvation. Some will argue and say it's not. The bottom line is, it's a heavy statement either way and to be taken very seriously. And he goes on and says, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, that is, comes under the law, that he's a debtor to keep the whole law or the entire law. Now, notice Paul says two things about the law here. And those who say they want to follow it. Number one, first, by doing so, it puts you under obligation to obey it. You have to obey it. If you're going to get into the law, you've got to obey it. You can't halfway obey the law. It's like telling somebody, I'm kind of pregnant. You can't be kind of pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not, right? So if you're going to be under the law, you're either under the law or you're not. And secondly, it's not just that you're under the law and have to keep it, obligation to keep it. You're under every single bit of the law. You know, it may be in that J. Vernon McGee obeyed every single law on the way there before that cop saw him roll at that stop sign or whatever. But the bottom line is he didn't obey at all, so he was guilty of all of it. He still got the ticket. And you have to realize for the Jews, when Paul was writing this to the Jews and to the Gentiles who knew the Jewish law and what the rabbis taught, they identified 613 laws in the Old Testament. And what he's saying is, if you're going to say, okay, you're going to keep the Sabbath. All right, you want to keep the Sabbath? Great. Then keep the other 612. Well, no, I just keep the Sabbath because I think that's part of the Ten Commandments. That's not what Paul said. He said, if you're going to keep one of them, you have to keep all of them. You have another 612 you got to keep. And if you break one of them, you're guilty. You know what that means? That means if you want to follow the law, if you want to follow the feast, you want to follow the Sabbath, you want to follow the law, you've got to start reinstituting animal sacrifice. Do you realize that? You're required to do animal sacrifice. If you want to come back under the law, that's what he's saying. And you might say, well, Mark, that no, because Jesus died on the cross for that, so we don't have to do that. That's the point. Since Jesus fulfilled the law, none of that's needed. But if you're going to do away with what Jesus fulfilled on the law, you've got to go back and start sacrificing sheep and goats and oxen. You've got to start keeping the Sabbath and the feast. You've got to keep all the other 600 and some things that you're commanded to keep because that's part of the law. And he's saying every single bit of it. James says the same thing in the book of James. He says, you know what? You have to obey the entire law, the entirety of it, if you're going to obey all of it. Or if you're going to obey any of it, if you will. So this is a very strong case here that Paul is laying out. And by the way, if you have friends and people that you know are trying to put themselves under the law, this is a great book to have them read and just meditate on. Say, look, don't listen to me, go read Galatians and see what God says for that. Now, again, I'm not saying, I want to make this clear again. If you feel like you want to, you know, do some of the feasts and get the symbolism, you're free in Christ to do that. If you want to set aside a day a week to call your Sabbath, you're also free to do that. There's nothing wrong in that. That's fine. As a matter of fact, it's probably healthy for you. It's good to set that day aside for the Lord and just to think about him, meditate, love him, honor him. But it's also healthy for you physically if you're one of those people that works, you know, around the clock or whatever. So there's good aspects. Paul is not saying you're not free to do those things. He's saying if you're doing those to try to please God, you better do all of it. Where does it end? It doesn't end. It's the whole, you got to get the whole enchilada, as they say. Notice this. He says, verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Notice the past tenses Paul uses here. Estranged is past tense. Fallen is past tense. That is, if you've removed yourself from God's grace through Jesus and put yourself back under the law, then you've taken that grace away. Where's the grace of God? You know, if you're going to be one who says, you know, you can't break any law ever, then there's never going to be any grace. I mean, I'm glad that policemen are gracious sometimes. I mean, sometimes police are, I don't know why, they just are, and it's always good when you run into one of those guys who's in a gracious mood. I'm not saying that means they should let everybody disobey the law. If they do that, you'll be lawless. Police are there as a blessing and a call of God to keep society in order. But aren't you glad when you're going a little bit over and they let you go? I mean, I remember one time, I didn't know the speed limit even changed. I didn't know how fast I was even going, but I was going like way over the speed limit. It dropped down to real low or whatever. And this guy pulled me over, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get like a huge, like I'm just I get out of the car. And, you know, take me away, lock me up. And he was just like, do you know what the speed limit is? I said, yes. I mean, what am I going to say? Yes, I'm busted. I mean, I'm not going to tell him I'm a pastor. But like, I'm like, yes. Only makes it worse, right? Well, you know, I can't, yeah, and I know it's wrong. And how can I justify myself? I didn't even start into this whole thing about justifying, you know. My daughter's cute, you know. Anyway, that doesn't help me any, right? He said, well, you know what? Just don't do that again. Really? Yeah, don't do that again. You have a good day. I kissed him. No, I didn't. I didn't kiss him. But I felt like kissing. I was like, you're kidding me. Thank you. And it just, I was like, and you know what? You know what it did for me? It didn't make me speed off. It made me drive the speed limit, not just out of the fear of getting pulled over again, but you know what? I appreciate the grace that came with the law. And the grace was appreciated. And because of the grace, I wanted to obey the speed limit. See, a lot of people think that if you do away with the law and just say grace, everybody's going to just run off and sin like crazy. That's not how it works if you know the Lord. It humbles you.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in Galatians. No matter what century you live in, there will be disagreements in the church. For the church in Galatia, they were experiencing it firsthand, as there were differences of opinion about how things should be. Situations in churches can get sticky, so it's important to cling to what God's Word says about the topic. Galatians reminds you that people want to get it right, but sometimes they need a little correction or direction. We hope as you've listened today, you've gained some direction in your life as well. Thanks for tuning in, and we'd like to invite you to come visit us. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our morning services are at 8, 9:30, and 11:15. We also have a Sunday night Bible study that meets at 6, and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7. And we'd love for you to bring your whole family. Every time we gather is an opportunity for you to grow in what you're learning and experiencing with God. If you're interested or would like more info, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. And if you want to listen to any of these studies again, just click on the Come to the Table link at thewaymedia.net or connect with the Way Media app. Well, we're out of time for today, but we'll continue our verse-by-verse study through Galatians the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.